move on to the next case, which is Zbigniew Chesney versus John Ashcroft. Mr. Horn.
Good morning, Your Honor. It's a tough name to pronounce, I know that.
Which one?
Chesney.
I thought Horn was pretty easy, though.
Right. What is it, Chesney?
Chesney, right.
Chesney.
In this case, I want to point out at the outset, we're not contesting the content of the order of rescission. There are issues prior to the content of the decision that are important. Before the issue of the content of the rescission order is to be reviewed, we have to see what the basis of the order of rescission is.
But I think it's also important to know, Mr. Horn, whether Mr. Chesney has a potentially meritorious argument against rescission.
Yes, he denies that he sent two letters in for the DV lottery and has and may have proof that he didn't send in two letters to the DV lottery, but we never got to that issue. Now, the first issue with regard to procedural due process is service of the initial intent to deny.
What is the evidence that he may have such proof?
I never got into that, Your Honor, because we never got that far. He would testify that he himself he went to a travel agent, and because he didn't speak English very well, he didn't know what was going on, and that he went in and told him that he needed a notice, they prepared it for him, and he mailed it in. He did not know, to my knowledge, he never sent in a second notice, and he would testify to that fact. And because I think the two notices have different home addresses as to where they would send the approval notice. So that there is a basis to contest the notice of rescission had he ever received the notice of rescission. There is no proof that he ever received the notice of intent to rescind. No personal service. They never handed him the personal notice. And there is no proof that it was sent by certified mail. The government, in its testimony, said we have records that we sent it of certified mail, but they never introduced it as evidence. They don't have a signed receipt showing that he had certified that it was sent to him, either by someone accepting it on his behalf or that it was returned not served. They have nothing. The immigration judge pointed that out to the government when we went to the initial hearing. The government's brief skips over this issue because if there is no service of the intent to rescind, then the whole rescission proceeding before the immigration judge falls. And the matter falls also before the immigration service itself, because the notice of intent to rescind is the basis for the final order of rescission. Since there's no service, he could not possibly respond. That's one issue, a service. The second issue is equally important. The notice of intent to rescind must contain certain things. One, it must contain a statement saying that I have 30 days to respond. Read over the notice of intent to rescind, nowhere does it ever say that he has 30 days to respond after receipt. The second issue is equally important. When does the 30 days respond commence? There's no date on the notice of intent to rescind. None. How could someone respond in 30 days when he doesn't know when the 30 days begin? Does it begin when the notice is prepared? Does it begin when he receives it? Does it begin 2 weeks later? How can one respond when there is no beginning and end? The third issue provided for in ACFR 246.1 says that he has an opportunity to rebut whatever the district director says in the order of rescission. The notice of attendance contains no information saying that he has a right to respond. None. Doesn't say that. So how can he know, here's a man who doesn't speak English very well, respond to a notice of attendance which gives him no bearing, no instructions whatsoever with regard to that. The notice also fails because it's supposed to say that he has a right to an attorney. They don't even say that. The notice of intent to rescind is absolutely a failure. It doesn't comport to comply with anything in HCFR 246.1. And the notice of intent to rescind is also supposed to say that if he wants to, he can go before an immigration judge and request a hearing. Notice of intent to rescind doesn't say that. If you look at Exhibit A, which is the notice, the final notice of rescission, it refers to those things. It says that you didn't respond in 30 days, that you didn't do this, you didn't do that, but there's nothing in the intent to rescind which specifies that he is supposed to do those things.
I think it's very important that you explain to us how he can refute the government's allegation that he filed multiple lottery applications in the same year.
Okay, my understanding is, that, because I didn't get into that, my understanding is that he would bring in the travel agent or the person who he went to testify that he only sent in, that two notices were prepared, but that he was given a notice of to apply for the DV lottery, and that they prepared it, and that he sent it in, that they didn't send it in, and that they had nothing to do with sending in the second notice, and he will testify that he didn't send the second notice. There's discrepancies between the two applications in the DV lottery. There are discrepancies.
So, in other words, there are two physical pieces of paper.
There are two physical pieces of paper. But there's discrepancies between the two. One has his address on it, the address that he lived on, and one has a different address on it. I think one also had a different birth date than the one that he sent in, that he admits that he sent in.
So, in other words, there are two Shishesmi.
Right.
It's possible. Is that what you're saying?
It's possible. It could be two different people. You know, we don't have to show that it's an absolute certainty that he's going to win the case. No. All we have to show is that he has a reasonable basis for defense to this allegation. But he never had an opportunity to present that defense because the notice of intent never advised him in accordance with the regulations
provided. Yeah, one problem that we're going to have to grapple with, Mr. Horn, to be perfectly honest, is that there's no claim that he had a valid argument against rescission in any of these briefs.
Right, because that wasn't the issue. The issue is...
I'm sure it's the issue.
Okay, well, we didn't see that issue. We didn't see that issue. Well, what we're saying is the issue that he had no opportunity to present a defense because the notice of intent was so badly prepared and there was no service.
Thank you.
Mr. Perez. Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Luis Perez. I represent the Attorney General. Before I start my argument, I would like to point to the court that we do not contest the fact that the notice of intent to rescind did not comply with Section 246.1. What we're contesting here is whether this court has jurisdiction to review the district director's final order of rescission.
Well, don't we have jurisdiction to review whether, you know, there's a due process problem here? And when you have a notice that, well, as you say, you're not contesting, doesn't that demonstrate the due process problem that would be presented by the lack of any review. In other words, the director can just flout the regulations. I mean, he can be, you know, he can be Hitler and Mussolini, and I mean, it just, and there would be absolutely no remedy.
This same issue was before the Fourth Circuit in the case of Gottesman versus INS. And the Fourth Circuit held that in deportation cases, the Court of Appeals jurisdiction is limited by 8 U.S.C. section 1105AA and the Supreme Court's interpretation of that provision in INS versus Shara. Now, in INS versus Shara, the Supreme Court held that Court of Appeals have jurisdiction of final order deportations and those matters that are contingent to the validity of the final order of deportation. A rescission order is, as the Fourth Circuit correctly pointed out, is not part of the final order of deportation on itself. It definitely influences the final order of deportation because it results in that the alien is put in deportation proceedings, but it does not result in a final order of deportation. In fact, an alien can seek review of a rescission order without waiting for the final order of deportation. Even if the alien is granted relief from deportation and is not deported, he can still seek review of the rescission order by the district director. Now, there's another point I would like to make. Here, the rescission...
I want you to help me out then with Robledo Gonzalez, our 2003 case that holds that judicial review of a substantial constitutional question is available, even if the petitioner could have presented the issue to a district court.
Was that a removal case, Your Honor? The thing is that under the new regulations, Congress, under INA Section 242B9, has changed the law, and now all those matters go directly to for review before the U.S. Court of Appeals. But in deportation cases, the old regs apply, and the Supreme Court's decision in Cheng Feng Wok, if I pronounce that correctly, says that the Court of Appeals jurisdiction is limited to final order of deportation, and all related matters have to be brought first before the district court. Now, the point that I wanted to make is that the rescission order issued by the district director was a default order. It was not an order in the merit of the notice of intent to rescind. It's the only provision where the district director can issue a rescission order, only when the alien does not file a response to the notice of intent to rescind, can the district director can issue a rescission order. So it's not a discretionary order, it's a mandatory order. And the provision, which is 8 CFR 246.2, clearly states at the end that no appeal shall lie from this decision. Of course, this does not pertain to the federal court, it pertains to the immigration court. This is what the Board of Immigration Appeals held in matter of Rodriguez Esteban. Immigration judges, the Board of Immigration Appeals, does not have jurisdiction to review a final rescission order entered upon Section 246.2 of CFR.
Did you just say Rodriguez Esteban?
Yes, matter of Rodriguez Esteban.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, matter of Rodriguez Esteban directly pertains to this case because although the issue before the immigration judge in Master Rodriguez Esteban was whether the response was filed timely, the immigration judge, instead of addressing that issue, held the notice did not comply with Section 246.1. So, I am going to terminate deportation proceedings. The Board of Immigration Appeals held you cannot do that because by doing that, you are necessarily reviewing the final rescission order issued by the district director, and you do not have jurisdiction over that pursuant to the regulation. So, based on these two contentions, the immigration judge properly terminate deportation proceedings. The immigration judge never considered the merit of whether the notice of intent to rescind complied with Section 246.1 because he did not have jurisdiction. And pursuant, and this court should not entertain this case and follow the Fourth Circuit a case in Government versus INS. And last point is, assuming that the court has jurisdiction, your point was correct, Your Honor. Petitioner has to make a showing of prejudice, and the showing of prejudice, at least in his opening brief, some prima facie showing that had he had the opportunity to respond, would have he been able to respond to the allegations in the notice of intent to rescind? If the court doesn't have any more questions.
Where is his ultimate? Does he have any option for review? After
yes, Your Honor, he does. Pursuant to matter of Rodriguez Esteban, it's clear that when a final rescission order is entered pursuant to 246.2, the alien can seek to reopen before the district director, and he has judicial review before the district court.
Of the failure of the denial of the motion, the petition to reopen.
Then he can go directly to the district court.
That's real deferential, isn't it?
No, he has the right to go to.
I know, but as far as the denial of
yes.
the opening.
Yes, it is discretionary.
It's very rarely turned over.
But in these circumstances where the notice has so much defect, it would have been the logical step before going directly to the immigration court. But my point is that in response to your question, Your Honor, judicial review is provided here by going directly to the district court.
But it's, you know, I mean, the motion to reopen is a matter within the discretion of the INS, and as my brother says, it's quite deferential. And secondly, and I guess maybe even more importantly, it's not, you know, it's generally disfavored.
It is a matter of discretion, and I agree completely. In terms of administrative review, the only administrative review that he has is the motion of reopen, which is completely discretionary. His right in terms of review is in front of the district court, which is the direct judicial review. And if the district court fails, issues an order against him, he still could file a notice of appeal before this court. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. You've got about a minute.
First of all, I want to point out that the government argued that the order of rescission was a default order, and yet they admit that the notice of intent to deny was defective on all its parts. So how could they support a default order on a defective intent to deny order? Secondly, the Board of Immigration Appeals said that the immigration judge does not have a right to review the contents of the rescission order. But they did not say, Rodriguez Esteban did not overrule completely Saunders. What it did is it said that the immigration judge doesn't have a right to consider the contents of the rescission order. But he does have a right to consider whether the notice to terminate was proper, whether the notice of intent to deny was proper. And that's what we're arguing, that the notice of intent to deny was improper and it should have been considered by the immigration judge. What we're asking for is that this matter, that the deportation order be vacated, because you can't argue constitutional issues before an immigration judge. You cannot argue constitutional issues before the Board of Immigration Appeals, and you cannot argue constitutional issues before the district director. It's got to be done in the court. So what we're asking is that the notice, that the deportation order, as opposed to the removal order, be terminated, be vacated, that this matter be sent back to the, and that the notice, and that this court rule that the notice of intent to deny, strike that, that the intent, that the rescission order is defective because the notice of intent to deny, which is the basis of the final order, is defective as admitted by the government.
Okay. That case will be taken under advisement.